Psalm 37, verse 16. The scripture said, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Listen to that again. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed of the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked boweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Listen to this. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've quoted this scripture to you. I've preached from this scripture before so many times. In 19 years, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. I want you to take notice again of what the scripture says. Verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Would you bow your hearts with me in prayer this morning? Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that name that is above every name, that is named both in the heavens, Lord God, in the earth and under the earth, the precious name of Jesus. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord God. I don't have to be moved by what I see. I don't have to be troubled by what I hear. God, my hope, my confidence, my trust is in the Lord. For as the psalmist declared, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God, I thank you this morning, Lord. You're not sitting on the throne in heaven nervous. You're not watching the stock market, Father, saying, oh, what am I going to do? Wringing your hand. But Father, I believe today, Lord God, that you are ordering our steps. God, my confidence today is not in this government. My confidence today, Lord God, is not in the government to come. But my trust, my confidence, my hope is in you. You're Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God who sees and provides. Lord, I thank you this morning, Father. But heaven's not bankrupt. God, you're still on the throne. I thank you today for your word. On the authority of your word, Father, I cast down imaginations and every single high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And Father, I command every thought and every intent and every purpose of every heart and every mind to come into perfect alignment with the word of the living God today in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Listen to what the scripture says again. Verses 18 and 19 of Psalm 37. For the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. You and I today, church, are living in a time of great uncertainty among the people of God. A time when it seems that so many of God's people have become discouraged and confused about what the future really holds. in a time of great political and social unrest among the nations of the world. In fact, as we look around us at all the negative things that are happening, many times we stop and ask ourselves the question, if we're really honest about it, Lord, who is really in control? If you're in control, God, then why are all these things happening? Ours is a day that finds both the moral and the social and the economic structures of our society literally crumbling round about us. Banks are failing, closing their doors. I've forgotten now exactly how many banks have failed just in the last 30 days in America. Not only is it affecting America, but entire nations are being shaken to their very foundations as economic crisis has shattered some of the world's strongest and most lucrative economies. We look around us at all the things that are happening. The stock market has become as unstable as water. Men are making and losing vast fortunes literally overnight. I heard that just this past week, billions, not millions, but billions of dollars were lost in the stock market. The stock market fell further in the last week than it has ever fallen before. They talk about Black Tuesday in 1929, but let me tell you, what happened this week was far blacker. But yet, in the midst of it all, in a time when many ways in many nations of our world, unemployment and the cost of living has become so ridiculously high, until countless tens of thousands find themselves homeless and destitute. In fact, if you walk up and down the streets of your neighborhood, even in our neighborhood, we have several houses that are sitting in foreclosure. And you look and think, where will it all end? The news media and many political leaders of our day are telling us that we're falling headlong into the midst of a coming global economic crisis. That we're falling to an ever-deepening recession. But yeah, I have come here this morning to bring you good news. I have come here today to tell you that in spite of all the negative reports that we're hearing, and in spite of a coming global economic crisis, in spite of the political and the social unrest, we as the people of God need to lift up our heads. We need to refuse to speak negatively. We need to refuse to look negatively at what is happening, because we are not in this thing by ourselves. You see, according to the scripture, when you see these things happening, get ready, the Lord is coming. You say, but wait a minute, preacher. Banks are failing. The government is toppling. Nations are reeling under an economic crisis. Do you not see what's going on today, preacher? I have two words for you this morning, but God. Ah, that sounds good, preacher, but you don't understand. Banks are failing. Nations are reeling. This thing's real. People are starving to death. Nations are going bankrupt. Not just banks, but nations are going bankrupt. The news media is telling us there's no way out, that there's no help. But I have good news for you this morning. God has not abdicated. Heaven is not bankrupt. God is not sitting on the throne in heaven nervous, raise his hands and say, oh, help me, what am I going to do? We act like sometimes God gets nervous. Can I tell you this morning, God's not a bit moved by what's happening in our world. You see, for the child of God, no matter what the situation may look like, No matter how dark the day may become, God is not the least bit shaken. Because I am convinced this morning that not only is God in the midst of what's happening, but I believe God is orchestrating all things because He's bringing everything to a conclusion. He's trying to bring America to her knees until we open up our eyes and realize that the only hope we have is in Christ. Our hope is not in an election. Our hope is not in a political party. Our hope is not in some candidate. But my hope is in Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You see, we need to understand this moment. This is not the time for the church to draw back. This is the time for the church to press forward. We are about to enter our finest hour. Amen. Our finest hour. My Bible tells me that where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Jesus, in telling his disciples, they said in Matthew 24, tell us, Master, when shall the end be? And Jesus said, this is what you're going to see happen. You're going to see nation rising against nation. You're going to see famine. You're going to see pestilence. You're going to see all these things. But he said, don't lose heart when you see it's happening, but realize the coming of the Lord is nigh. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But in order for you and I to walk in the fullness of the blessing of God and the favor of God, there are some things this morning that we've got to understand from the Word of God. You see, I want to be ready to go, but what we've got to understand this morning is God's not telling us, pack your bags and get ready to go. He said, just pack them and set them over to the corner, because every now and then you need to unpack some things and go back to work. You need to busy yourself with the work of the kingdom. It's not time to go yet. When God calls for us, He'll call us and we'll be snatched out of this world. Harpazo in the Greek, we'll be violently snatched out of this world. But until that time comes, Jesus told us we're supposed to occupy till I come. That means we need to get busy for the kingdom. There is a sense of urgency in my spirit like I've never known before, that it's time to get busy for the kingdom. That in everything we do, we need to be doing it for the glory of God. We don't have time for religious games. We don't have time for foolishness. We don't have time for power struggles. We don't have time for a bunch of religiosity in the church anymore. The only thing we've got time for is to fall on our faces and call upon the name of God and busy ourselves about the work of the kingdom, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Jesus is coming. So how do we overcome this economic crisis, Pastor? Can I tell you, first of all, in order to rise above a great economic crisis, we must first of all understand what has brought about this tremendous upheaval among the nations. You see, I'm convinced this morning this is not a bank crisis. It is not a stock market crisis. It's not even a political crisis. But what we have in America and around this world is we have a God crisis. You see, I am convinced today that God is seeking to bring the nations and the peoples of this earth to a place of repentance and godly sorrow, that He might draw us unto Himself. You and I are living in a society that has virtually turned her back on God. We don't have time for God anymore. We're too busy for God. God's been trying to get our attention for years. We're too busy. When the history books are written, should Jesus tarry very much longer? The first decade of the 21st century will go down in history as the decade of the great storms. 2004 and 2005, we've seen the East Coast ravaged. Hurricanes Gene, Francis, Charlie, I don't remember the fourth that hit Florida. Until Florida was literally, you were either cleaning up after one storm or getting ready for the other. Then in 2005, we saw Katrina sweep in and ravage New Orleans and ravage the Gulf Coast and literally watched entire cities underwater. Just a few weeks later, Rita came our way. And I just assumed that broad had stayed somewhere else. And then in the last month, we've gone through what we've gone through with Ike. I never cared much for Ike. But we need to understand this decade will go down in history as a decade of crisis. Not only a decade of the storms, but a decade of the greatest fall in the history of the stock exchange. But I'm convinced that God's trying to get our attention. God is seeking to bring man to repentance. Ah, well, God's not like that preacher. You know, he's a good God. He doesn't ever let any of those, cause any of those things to happen. I got news for you. The Bible said that it's better to enter into heaven halt or lame than it is to enter into hell whole. God loves us enough to get our attention. If he has to push the red button and send us to the bottom of the sea and cause a fish to swallow us up, God loves us enough that if he has to, he'll cause everything we believe in and trust in other than him to be snatched away from us, and to we finally look up and realize if it had not been for the Lord, who was on my side. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:2-3, said, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety," Paul said, "then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child." Can I tell you, we've been so busy in America murdering 35 million babies, calling it abortion, a scourge over this land. We've been so busy allowing sin and degradation to come into our homes via the television set and the computer. We've been so busy doing our own thing that we haven't had time for God. But God all of a sudden is shaking America to its core and saying to us, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, God said, will I hear from heaven. And then will I heal your land. See, we're convinced because of the candy-coated gospel we've been getting over the airwaves for years in America that God doesn't do that stuff. In Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 4, God said, "My eyes shall not spare you, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense, or I will repay your ways upon you, and your abomination shall be in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord." In Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, just a couple of chapters later, he said, "Then he said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. The land is full of blood and the city full of perverseness." Does that sound familiar? "For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. But he said, as for me also, my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their own head." In other words, God said, "I'm not asleep. I haven't gone on vacation. I see what's going on in America, and I'm trying to shake America up." Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 18. Can I tell you something? If there was ever a time in your life, ever a time in your life that you need to get right with God, this is it. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 9 through 17. You see, we're about to start a whole new ministry paradigm in this church because I want to reach everybody we can for the kingdom of God. Whatever we have to do to reach, I don't care who gets the credit. I don't care who gets the glory. You can have it all as far as I'm concerned. Just let me be over in the corner doing my part. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 9. This is what God said. He said, "At one instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice. If it murdered 35 million unborn babies, if it legalized same-sex marriage, my God in heaven, if that nation against whom I pronounced turn from their evil, he said, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a big kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. You see, we're always standing up talking about we've sent more missionaries out than any other country on the face of that earth. And that's true. It's correct. But listen to what God said. But he said, that's not going to be enough. If you do evil in my sight, that you will obey not my voice, and I repent of the good wherewith I said I'd benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, and I devise a device against you. Return ye now everyone from his evil ways, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and will everyone do the imaginations of his own heart. There we are. That's a picture of America. We don't need God. We don't want him in the school. Let's kick him out. We don't want him telling us that we can't kill babies. Let's legalize abortion. Amen, preacher. I'm amazed that Christians, people who call themselves Christians, can say, well, you know, abortion's not that big a deal. We talk about 6 million Jews being killed in the Holocaust. The biggest Holocaust that this land has ever seen is the 35 million unborn babies that have been literally brutalized. Have you ever seen what happens in an abortion? Have you ever seen the video of what happens when they reach in and literally crush a baby's skull and suck its brain out? You don't think God Almighty is affected by what we've done? It ought to be quiet this morning. I'm talking to all of us. He said, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, that I repent of the good wherewith I said I'd benefit to them. Let me drop down to verse 12. And they said, there's no hope, but we'll walk after our own devices. Will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who has heard of such a thing? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. You say he's talking to Israel. I know he is, but he's also talking to the church. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field, or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Listen to me this morning. God Almighty is saying to the church, I've saw the evil that's filled this land. I've saw the corruption that has become America, and I'm trying to bring the church back to a place of repentance. And Paul said it this way, writing to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:1, he said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times are going to come. He said, for men are going to be lovers of their own self. They're going to be coveters, boasters, proud, blasphemers. They're going to be disobedient to parents. They're going to be truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. God is calling on the church and telling the church, church, it's time to stand up and be a voice in this earth. It's time to stand up and say it's wrong to murder a baby. It's time to stand up and say homosexuality is a perversion. It's a sin. It's an abomination in the sight of God. It's time we need to stand up and declare the truth of what God's word says. I know that's not popular. Well, you know, Pastor, we're supposed to be understanding. I don't understand sin. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, Paul told Timothy, there in the last days that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Matthew 20, you say, wait a minute, preacher, you told us you were going to tell us how to overcome economic crisis. We're going to get there. Matthew 24 and 12, and Jesus is telling the disciples, these are the things that are going to happen. He said in verse number 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Can I tell you, it's evident in the church. You start talking about sin, suddenly it becomes deathly still. You start talking about God's blessing and God's favor and how God wants you to be rich and wants you to have two Cadillacs and a BMW and a Harley Davidson and how he wants you to live in the biggest, best house in town, and everybody will shout you off the platform. But don't tell me God wants me to live right, preacher, because I don't want to hear that. We've got to understand this morning, yes, there is a global economic crisis. Yes, this is a time of great political and social upheaval. Yes, we are a nation under siege to the forces of hell. But I have good news. God is still on the throne. Heaven has not gone bankrupt. God has not forgotten about us. Isaiah 59. Verses 16 through 19, he says, there it saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. He said, therefore his own arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on his righteousness a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak. And this is what he said. He said, according to their deeds, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he'll repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up and lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, when hell is ravaging, God's going to raise up a standard. I don't care what happens on Wall Street. My hope is not on Wall Street. My faith is based on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Psalm 34 and 7, the psalmist said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him and delivereth them. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. He said, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. He said, oh, but don't you fear, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. If you seek the Lord, God's going to cause you to prosper when everybody around you broke. Yep. Amen. See, God didn't say you weren't going to be tried. In fact, he promised you were. He said in John 16, 33, these things have I spoken unto me, that in you you be, that in you, that in me you might have peace. For in this world, he said, you shall have tribulation. It's a given. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Psalm 34, 19 said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But he didn't stop there. He went on to say, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. How do we overcome a global economic crisis? We get back to God. Secondly, we need to understand, if we're going to rise above a great economic crisis, then we've got to understand and recognize the sovereignty of Almighty God. I talk a lot about sovereignty because I am a firm believer that God is sovereign. And we need to have confidence in his ability to work on our behalf. In other words, we've got to come to the place in our lives that we not only believe God can deliver, but we've got to come to the place in our relationship where we know that God will deliver. Amen. That if everybody around us is going broke, he won't allow us to do without any good thing. That's what your Bible says. Amen. God reminded me in the last few weeks of what happened in the book of Exodus when Moses went down and pronounced the plagues upon Egypt. And he told Pharaoh, all these things are going to be happening. The water turned to blood, the frogs, the locusts, and all of the plagues that were poured out over Egypt. And there was a famine, and they didn't have anything to eat. But yet, in the land of Goshen, just next door, where the people of God were inhabiting, there was plenty. There was water to drink. There was food to eat. Every need they had was met. And when it was God's time to take them out of Egypt, he didn't take them out broke, busted, and disgusted, but he took them out of Egypt as millionaires. They went out of there with everything they needed. Hallelujah. God is sovereign. He's in charge. He is working in everything that's happening around us. I got my statement just a couple of days ago from my retirement fund. It wasn't pretty, because I have a portion of it. About half of it are better in stocks. Well, guess what? That's exactly right. And I'm not exactly, I know I'm still pretty. But I ain't exactly as young as I once was. I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm once as good as I always was. But when I seen that thing, I didn't wring my hands, oh God, what are we going to do? You know why? My trust is not in a retirement plan. I pray, God, give me the strength of preaching like Caleb till I'm 85 years old. Let me still be standing up and saying, Lord, give me that mountain, Lord. Let me take it for the kingdom. Psalm 37, look at that opening text again. You see, we need to realize God's in charge of this thing. The devil's not. He'd lead us to believe that he's the one that's taking all this thing. And most people will lead you to believe it. I'm a firm believer that God's in charge. Psalm 37, verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They'll not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they're going to be satisfied. That's us. That means everybody else is hungry. God's going to satisfy us. Look down again, verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. But such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man, the steps of a good man, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. David said, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. He's ever merciful and liberal, and his seed is blessed. God is sovereign. I don't care if the stock market crashes and never comes back. God is our source. Hallelujah. Look back with me in Psalm 34, verse 15, at what the psalmist said in the 34th Psalm. He said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears, verse 15, are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them to do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Not some of them, but all of them. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Lord delivereth him out of the land. My God. Proverbs 21 and 1, the Bible said, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turns it whithersoever he will. Somebody said, aren't you concerned about who's going to be president? Nope. You going to vote? Absolutely. Everybody ought to vote. You ought to vote your conscience. But I'm not concerned about that, because my hope is based on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. It's not in America. If the government bellies up and starts stinking like a foul fish, God's going to take care of his own. If everybody else around you is broke, God's going to send you money if he's got to send it in the mouth of a fish. He is our source. I believe it's time that we as the children of God need to quit focusing our attention on the circumstances that are surrounding us, and we need to get our eyes focused back on Jesus, knowing that through his holy word, he'll supply our every need, no matter how great that need may be. If we need tax money, he'll send it. If we need food money, he'll send it. It may not come the way you want it to. It may come and somebody knocking on your door and saying, "The Lord told me to bring you this." Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. He said, "What are you worrying about? What you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to put on?" He said, "Consider the lilies of the field. They sow not, neither do they spin, neither do they toil. Yet your heavenly Father clothes them." He said, "Look at the little sparrows." He said, "There's not one of them that falls through the air and falls that God's not aware of." He said, "Don't you understand something?" In Matthew 6 and verse 33, that if you'll seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. God will clothe you. God will bring you what you need. Quit worrying about what the world is saying about the economy and get your eyes back on God. Somebody told me one time, said, "What's the church going to do? You know how a church is going to make it?" I said, "I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I believe the church is going to prosper more in these times than it ever has before. Because people who have any sense at all recognize the fact that if God is my source, last thing I want to do is steal from him who is my source." Oh, that's good preaching right there. Amen, preacher. Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10, he said, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want for them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Oh, I got that preacher figured out now. He's getting ready to hit us for an offering. No, he's not. I don't want your cankered money. If we got to get it from you by some kind of manipulation, we don't need it. Can I tell you today, God is our source. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Habakkuk the prophet said it this way. He said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of olives shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the stalls, and there be no herd in the stalls." In other words, he said, all hell's broke out. He said, "But yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, because he's going to make my feet like hinds' feet until I'm going to walk above the higher places. He's going to allow me to rise above everything that happens." Shoo! Oh, let me just give him a little praise. Philippians 4 and 6, he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with intercession and giving of thanks, let your requests be made known unto God." And he said, "If you do so," he said, "don't worry, don't sweat it." He said, "The peace of God shall sustain you. The peace of God shall keep you. The peace of God will uphold you." Why? Because you recognize the fact, I'm not based on what the economy says. I'm based on what God says. Can I give you a little suggestion? This is free. Quit watching the news. Oh, it is a bunch of negative garbage. We need to remember that God's not going to let us do without him. He has to send the ravens by to feed us. He's not going to let us do without him. He has to send the money in the mouth of a fish. He's not going to let us do without him. He's got to use a little boy's lunch to feed us. My God, I can't hardly stay up here this morning. You say, but preacher, you don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't understand what's happening in my family. Preacher, you just don't get it. Can I tell you what I do personally when it comes to that place in my life? I give my way out. Whenever famine comes, I start giving more. Oh, he's the preacher. He just stand up there saying that. You cannot give God. I made this statement before, and so help me, I'll stand by it. I'd rather go down and rob Bank of America than I would rob God. Psalm 31, and no pun intended, Don. I don't intend to do that. Psalm 31, verse 23, that I would say, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. The Lord blesses his people. Can I tell you why a lot of folk in church are sweating the economic crisis?
Come on, I'm with you now.
Because they're stealing from God. That's why a lot of folk are sweating, because they know they ain't doing what's right. Can I tell you, if you ain't doing what's right, you better be sweating. You better be concerned. If you've been robbing God, I'd be nervous too. Play me a little shout music. My God, I need to shout on that. Yeah. Psalm 37, verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous, the Bible said, is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them, and the Lord shall deliver them. He'll deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. Psalm 34 and verse 22, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Amen. Proverbs 29, 25, the Bible said, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. If there's one thing I've hammered into my daughter over and over and over from the time she was a child, it was don't rob God, don't rob God, don't rob God, don't be a fool. Amen. I've given to God when I didn't have another dollar in my pocket. He told me to give away my last $20 one night, and I said, now, wait a minute, God, that's all I got. He said, do it. I did. The next morning, a lady said, God told me to give you this, and put 10 $20 bills in my hand. Amen. You cannot give God. That's right. Maybe I better stay here. I think I'm on a hot trail. You smell flesh burning too? Thirdly, let me close with this. If we're going to survive the great economic crisis that's coming on the earth, the final thing that we've got to do is we've got to turn back to God with all of our hearts. And we've got to seek to rend our hearts before God and cry out for mercy for ourselves, our churches, and our nation. In other words, we've got to stop playing religious games with God. And we've got to get honest with God, and we've got to get honest with ourselves, that God might cleanse our hearts and prepare us for the battle that's lying before us, because there is a coming battle. There was ever a time, and some folk never cease to amaze me. They start having difficulties and they run from the church. My God, how foolish can you be? When you start having troubles, it's not time to run from the church. It's time to run to the church. Look with me in Joel chapter 2. I'm trying to get through this morning, but it's burning in my heart. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. God said, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Why do you think we've been fasting this past week? Because we don't like to eat? I don't think so. You can tell by looking at me, I enjoy eating. We fasted because we want a move of God. I told my granddaughter this past week, I said, Jesus told us three things that he required of us. He said, when you pray, when you give, when you fast. He didn't say if. Me definitely smells flesh burning now. He didn't say if, he said when. When you pray, when you fast, when you give. Look back with the word with me. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, get real. Quit trying to put on some kind of religious facade. My God, what are you worrying about pleasing other people for? Why in the world are we worried about pleasing people? I've seen people come into church. I've seen them shout across the front. I've seen them dance. And the whole time they're robbing God. Or the whole time they're not really, you know, they come to church and shout. Then on Monday they're out shouting in the club. They've been out all Friday night getting the freak on, and they'll come into church on Sunday and shout. Amen, preacher. He said, rend your heart, not your garment. It's not about some kind of outward show. It's about an inward thing. He said, and turn on the Lord your God, for he's gracious and merciful. Thank God for mercy. I need mercy. He said, he's slow to anger and in great kindness and repenteth him of the evil. Here it is. Who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. It's talking about the church. I'm sounding the alarm. He said, sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of the closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. It's time that preachers need to get back to weeping and cry out, God, spare your people, Lord. Spare your people, Lord. It's not about whether or not I drive a Mercedes. It's not about whether or not I live in a gated community. Oh, God, spare your people. Oh, God, save your church. Oh, God, reach out. I'm tired of contacting ministries and they say, I'll come if you'll give me such and such. God help us all. He said, I'll remove far off from you. Let me back up to verse 18. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land. He'll pity his people. Why? When will he do that? Go back to verse 17. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and give not your heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? There's a lot of people saying, what good does it do me to serve God? Why should I go to church? I'm not living any better than anybody else is around me. Then you need to get right with God and get on your face and cry out to him. The Bible said in verse 18, if you do, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say unto the people, behold, I'll send you corn and wine and oil, and you'll be satisfied therewith, and I'll make no more you of reproach among the heathen. In other words, he said, if you'll get on your face and call upon my name, as I read this morning in the opening text in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their their wicked ways. God said, then when I hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sin and I will heal your land. God said, if you'll repent, we need to call upon the name of God. Amen. We don't have time to be religious. Amen. I don't have time for a lot of religiosity and a bunch of politics. I don't have time for church politics. Nothing makes me sicker than to go to a denominational meeting and watch the politics take place. Sometimes I want to just go out and regurgitate. That's French for I want to throw up. And I look and I think, my God, is this what the church is about? The church is not about jockeying for position. I've seen it over and over in 25 years of ministry. Some people get in leadership positions and they want to become like a god. Let me tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said even Jesus, the Son of Man, didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for all. You want to know what a leader is? A leader is a servant. A leader is somebody who doesn't have to get up and prove who, how I just want everybody to know I'm in charge. You and I learned a long time ago. When I was 21 years old, I went to work in a coal mine at 18 years of age. At 21 years of age, I became a foreman. I had men working for me that were three times my age. I learned authority doesn't come because you stand up and say, I'm the boss. It comes through respect. That's earned. If you got to prove you're the boss, guess what? You ain't. I know that's not good English, but you're not. If you got to prove you're in charge, if you got to show everybody your position, you're not in charge. You ain't leading nobody but yourself. My God, I'm preaching now. Whoa! Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 5, the Bible said, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter saith, the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck at it and to pull it out and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I pronounced evil will turn from their evil, then I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Can I tell you? It's not too late for America. It's not too late for us. If we'll just begin to repent and call upon the name of the Lord and say, God, forgive us. Forgive us for murdering babies. Forgive us, God, for hurting and criticizing and gossiping. Forgive us, God, for mistreating the oppressed. If we will repent before God, God will turn. I am convinced this morning that God will do a great work among his people even in the midst of an economic crisis. But he refuses to work among those who will not humble themselves and repent and turn away from the sins of the flesh. God is looking for a people. The Spirit of God is calling upon the church. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 21, he said, if the wicked return from his sins that he's committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed shall not be mentioned unto him, and in his righteousness that he hath done shall he live. You know what God's saying? He said, if you'll repent, I'll wipe all your sin away and I'll never bring it up again. And I'll honor your righteousness. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Paul said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times or the seasons of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. God is calling upon America to repent. Can I tell you beyond that, God's calling on the church to repent. I'm convinced of it. He's calling on the church to repent. In spite of what's happening around us, in spite of all our circumstances, we don't have to lose hope. If we are committed to God, no matter how dark our situation may seem, no matter how dire our circumstances, we need to just remember God is in control. No matter who you are this morning, no matter where you've been, doesn't matter to God. Just a moment, I'm going to have you to stand. There's a cool chorus we used to sing. We haven't sang it in a while. It says, it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is standing with his arms spread wide open. Would you stand with me this morning? Can I tell you today there's hope? I know right now if you listen to the media will have you wanting to just give up. They shouldn't call it the news. They ought to call it the bad news. When do they ever give you anything good? If you listen to the media, they'll make you believe that it's hopeless. Not so. There is hope. His name is Jesus.